All right, pilgrims. It's about time to get ready to go. It's Pastor Bob. And we're on the 19th day of our journey through the month of May. And we're walking with the Gospel of Mark, and we're walking with each other, and we're following Jesus. If so, it's been quite an event so far, quite an experience, and we've got some more things going on today you're not going to want to miss, so grab your bag, get your stuff together. We're starting to pull everything together for departure time, getting a quick sip of my kava tea. Ooh, so good. Kava, K-A-V-A. And we're taking in the aroma from the Myrtle and Thyme candle. We've got a nice level of monk harmony in the background. We're just kind of reflecting about yesterday. You know, the Sadducees argued with Jesus about being married in heaven. And then a scribe came up and asked him what the greatest commandment was. And then Jesus made some comments about being the son of David. And how could he be the son of David when the son of David calls him Lord? So now we're ready to go. And it looks like Jesus is getting ready to take us on the road, and he's got some things to say to us. So no miracles today in that strict sense, but a lot of good teaching, a lot of interesting stuff. Hope we have the ears to hear and the eyes to see. Chapter 12 of Mark, verse 38. 12:38. As he taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearance, say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples, and he said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury, for all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." As he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be? And what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs. As for yourselves, beware, for they will hand you over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings because of me as a testimony to them. And the good news must first be proclaimed to all nations. When they bring you a trial and hand you over, do not worry beforehand about what you are to say, but say whatever is given you at that time. For it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all because of my name. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. But when you see the desolating sacrilege set up where it ought not to be, let the reader understand, then those in Judea must flee to the mountains. The one on the housetop must not go down or enter the house to take anything away. The one in the field must not turn back to get a coat. Woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing infants in those days. Pray that it may not be in winter. Going to pause here to close our window. We have the stonemason at the neighbor's house next door, and he is busy. Woe to those who are pregnant. We're at verse 17. That's chapter 13, verse 17. Woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing infants in those days. Pray that it may not be in winter, for in those days there will be suffering, such as has not been from the beginning of the creation that God created until now. No, and never will be. And if the Lord had not cut short those days, no one would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, whom he chose, he has cut short those days. And if anyone says to you at that time, look, here is the Messiah, or look, there he is, do not believe it. False messiahs and false prophets will appear and produce signs and omens to lead astray, if possible, the elect. But be alert. I have already told you everything. So that's where we'll end the journey for today. We'll continue on tomorrow, finish up that discussion a little bit. But there's a lot of complicated things going on here, isn't there? Amen. We went from a simple denunciation of the scribes and a little widow's offering to what's called the Olivet Discourse on the Mount of Olives, when Jesus talks about the eschatological ending that so many religions are obsessed about. And he talks about them in very specific, visual, graphic ways that it's not easy to make your way through all of what he says. He brings up in the towards the end of scripture from the book of Daniel, even, which talks about the end of time. So let's surrender to it. Let's open our hearts. Let's clear the hard drive. Let's just listen to Jesus talking. Remember, it's all good news. And let's see what we can make of this as we walk through it again, beginning with chapter 12, verse 38. All right? Get one more little sip here. As he taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes, who like to walk around in long robes, and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." Well, these are all things that tempt every single person that I know, having the best seats, walking around in my finest attire, best seats in the synagogue, places of honors. These are things we all are attracted to, that we all desire. I'm certainly guilty of saying long prayers. He says they will receive the greater condemnation. The greater condemnation, which means there's condemnation for all, and they receive the greater, which opens up a lot of interesting questions about what he's talking about when he talks about condemnation. But he's really, as usual, talking about a present state of affairs for people. To be condemned in the moment, in your heart, in your conscience, because of where your self-will and your ego takes you. And then we get the widow. He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. So next time you're making your offering, just imagine Jesus sitting there next to you, looking over your shoulder, seeing what you pull out of your wallet or what number you put on that check, right? And I'll tell you, what's not going to impress him is that size of that number. It says, many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. Jesus is teaching us, it's not about slicing off a little percentage of our life to give to the church or to give to the Lord, to give to Jesus. It's about your whole life, all you live on, all different aspects of your life, your whole complete total life. That's what Jesus wants. All of your money and all of your hobbies and all of your vocations and all of your family and all of you. That's what Jesus wants you to give to him. And that doesn't mean you write a check for your complete savings account and put it in the church offering plate, but it means you dedicate all of your money to him leading you on what to do with it, how to use it, right? Let's keep going. As he came out of the temple, one of his disciples, maybe it was you, said to him, look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings. Then Jesus asked him, do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left there upon another, and all will be thrown down. This, of course, is the fascination we have with our eyes and eyesight to see things visually with our senses and be impressed by them. And this is really the great spiritual question is, how do you see? How do you look at the world? Do you look with eyes of the temporal, earthly, beautiful buildings kind of thing, or do you see things in their eternal form? Because a great building, it's in its eternal form, is a pile of rubbish, right? But you are made for eternity. You are living for eternity now. He's trying to emphasize how you see the world is very important based on how you live. When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and guess who? Our friend Andrew asked him privately, tell us when this will be, and what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished? So this goes back to, similar to the seeing, one of the things we're constrained by, not just our sin, but time. We are constrained by time. Jesus came to free us from that constraint. Sin, yes, and time, right? He conquers death. Right? He moves us into a life of eternity beyond time. And here we still are just so fixated on time, right? Tell us when these things will be accomplished. Like we've got a timeline and we want to know what day and date they're going to be accomplished. And Jesus began to say to them, beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, I am he, and they will lead many astray. When you hear of war, so of course we know that a lot of the tactics of prominent scribal preachers, as he described earlier, the ones with the long robes and the seats of honor at the banquets, will try to predict periodically when the end is coming so that they can grab your attention and your money and you can become one of their disciples. It's a big topic for these kinds of false pastors who predict the end of times. So he tells us not to be led astray. And then he says, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed.
This must take place, but the end is still to come. So one of the devices that these preachers uses is the wars. I can find when the Bible says these three wars will take place or these nations will be at war, then the end of time is near. Jesus is telling us wars are a way of the world. They've always been here. They always will. It's part of living in this world. They don't mean that the end is coming. They mean we're still at the beginning, in fact, he says. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation. He's telling us what is. What is the reality of the world? For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There's going to be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs. So we're still at the beginning, is what he's telling us. Especially based on our limited understanding, our limited eyesight, our limited ability to see eternity. We're at the beginning of the birth pangs. As for yourselves, beware, for they will hand you over to councils. Now he's explaining their fate to them and what's going to happen to them. And you will be beaten in synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings because of me as a testimony to them. And the good news must first be proclaimed to all nations. That's the good news. That's the kingdom of God. When they bring you to trial and hand you over, do not worry beforehand about what you are to say, but say whatever is given you at that time. For it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all because of my name, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. Again, he's describing life in the world, no matter what generation you're talking about, 4,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, yesterday. This is the way the world works, and it's about enduring to the end. Perseverance. We're up to verse 14, the last section here. But when you see the desolating sacrilege set up where it ought not to be, let the reader understand, then those in Judea must flee to the mountains. The one on the housetop must not go down or enter the house to take anything away. The one in the field must not turn back to get a coat. Woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing infants in those days. Pray that it may not be in winter, for in those days there will be suffering such as has not been seen from the beginning of creation that God created until now, no, and never will be. And if the Lord had not cut short those days, no one would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, whom he chose, he has cut short those days. And if anyone says to you at that time, look, here is the Messiah, or look, there he is, do not believe it. False messiahs and false prophets will appear and produce signs and omens to lead astray, if possible, the elect. But be alert, I have already told you everything. Well, what's he saying here? He's saying, I am the source for truth. All these things that are happening in the world are all part of the plan. Don't believe anybody else, and don't let anybody else make things out of them that I haven't told you. I will tell you everything, all right? And when the time comes, the time comes. And when you have to testify about me, let the words come from the Holy Spirit, all right? It's basically saying, he's in charge, you know? He's got this, and all we have to do is trust him. Oh. Whew. That was like a graduate school seminar, wasn't it? Well, let's dust off a little bit and have a sip of end-of-the-day tea. Jesus is coming over and has a few more words to say to us before we bunk down. Here he is. I want you to know how safe and secure you are in my presence. That is a fact, totally independent of your feelings. You are on your way to heaven. Nothing can prevent you from reaching that destination. There you will see me face to face, and your joy will be off the charts by any earthly standards. Even now, You are never separated from me, though you must see me through eyes of faith. I will walk with you till the end of time and onward into eternity. Although my presence is a guaranteed promise, that does not necessarily change your feelings. When you forget I am with you, you may experience loneliness or fear. It is through awareness of my presence that peace displaces negative feelings. Practice the discipline of walking consciously with me through each day. Amen. What great words to end our episode on. Just a reminder that tomorrow night is Wednesday, Middle Sabbath, which means at 7 o'clock we'll have our Zoom discussion group, and I'll be sending out the link with tomorrow's episode. See how that all works. Hope you're having a blessed day and look forward to seeing you again tomorrow. Until that happens, open your eyes, see with the eyes of faith, hear with the ears of faith, and see eternity all around.